chapter 21, beginning tonight with verse 20. Jesus has been teaching there in the temple precincts. People have been gathering to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Many are gathering to listen to him as he teaches. And in chapter 21, we find that Jesus was with his disciples and with the people, watching as the rich people were casting their money in the treasury. And as a little woman came up, a widow, she threw in two mites. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "That little lady has given more than all of the rest put together." They all gave out of their abundance, their superfluity, but she gave her substance. That's all she has. The Lord measuring our gifts, not by the amount, but by what it cost us, the sacrifice on our parts. And then they began to remark about this temple building. One of the greatest structures built in ancient times was the temple in Jerusalem. Herod used stones that were 45 feet long, 12 feet thick, and 8 feet high. And thus they were remarking over these huge stones and over the beautiful furnishings of the temple, all of the gold and the silver that adorned the temple. And Jesus made a very remarkable prophecy. Considering the size of the stones. For he said, not one of these stones is going to be left standing on the other. And they said, "Lord, when is that going to happen?" And so here in the 21st chapter, we have recorded Jesus telling them the signs that would precede the destruction of Jerusalem and of the temple and of all of the stones being cast down. Now, later on, when Jesus with his disciples went back over to the Mount of Olives, for in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, at night he would go over to the Mount of Olives. And as they went back to the Mount of the Olives, the disciples then asked him much the same question, seeking amplification. "Lord, what will be the signs of these things and of thy coming and of the end of the age?" So their question went a little bit further. What will be the signs that relate to your coming, the end of the age, as well as the signs that deal with the destruction of the temple? And so in Matthew's gospel, we have what is known as the Olivet Discourse. This is the answer to the disciples of Jesus to the broader question of the signs of his coming and the end of the age. Now, we do see that there are some similarities because they are talking about the destruction of the temple still. But there are differences because he is now expanded in Matthew 24 to talk about the signs of the end of the age. And so beginning with verse 20 tonight, "And when you see Jerusalem encircled with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near." Now, what will be the sign of the destruction of Jerusalem? What will be the sign when the temple is taken down, not one stone left? And Jesus said, this is what you need to watch for. When you see Jerusalem encircled with armies, then you will know that the desolation is near. Now, in comparing Luke 21 with Matthew 24, There are similarities in this prophecy that is made concerning the destruction of the temple and of the prophecy that is made of his coming again. In both of the prophecies, he declares that those who are in Judea were to flee to the mountains. In both of the prophecies, he said, "Woe unto those who happen to be pregnant at this time, or to those who are nursing small children." They're going to have to flee. They're going to be living under very difficult circumstances. If you happen to be pregnant, you're going to have a hard time fleeing. If you're nursing a child, it's going to be difficult because you're going to have to get out of there in a hurry. Those are the similarities with the signs that would precede the destruction of the temple and the warnings that Jesus gave in regards to the last days when, again, they were to flee from Jerusalem. Now, the differences, and these are important to note. Here in Luke, the sign that is to trigger their fleeing is when they see Jerusalem encircled with armies. That's the sign, and that's the time that you're to flee. In Matthew's gospel, the sign that indicated they were to flee was when they saw the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now, the abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist comes to the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, yet future, and he stands in the Holy of Holies of the rebuilt temple. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then flee to the mountains. Those in Judea flee to the mountains. So on two occasions they are to flee. The first is when they see Jerusalem encircled with the Roman armies. Flee to the mountains. Woe if you're pregnant or nursing a child. It's going to be tough. The second is when you see the Antichrist standing in the rebuilt temple, blaspheming God, declaring that he is God and demanding to be worshiped as God. In Daniel chapter 9, we are told that the prince of the people that shall come, that is the Antichrist, in the midst of the seven-year period, will cause the daily sacrifices to cease, and he will set up the abomination which will cause the desolation being the great tribulation period. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul the Apostle declares that this son of perdition will stand in the temple of God, showing that he is God, or declaring that he is God, and demanding to be worshiped as God. Now, in Matthew's gospel, that's the sign, and that's at the end of the age. Luke, Jesus is talking about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple by the Roman armies. The sign here in Luke is when the city is surrounded by the Roman army. In Luke's gospel here, following their flight out of Jerusalem, and the distress that shall take place, the Jews were to be led away captive into all nations. So that will follow their fleeing to the mountains. In Matthew's gospel, there flight to the wilderness will be followed by the great tribulation period. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "And then there shall be great tribulation upon the earth, such as the world has never seen before or will ever see again." So Luke's gospel is dealing with the signs concerning the destruction of the temple. Matthew's gospel relates to the signs of the coming again of Jesus Christ in the last days. And it is important that you note that these are different times that he is talking about. Though there be similarities, yet the differences are to be noted. At this point in Luke, Jesus is answering the question as to the signs that would precede the destruction of the temple, and he was there in the temple court. Less than 40 years later, the Jews began another insurrection against Rome. Vespasian came with the Roman 10th Legion to subdue the insurrection, which began in the Galilee region. It became a general uprising throughout all of Israel, and the Roman army began their massive slaughter of the Jews. It was a fierce time of war. But gradually the Roman troops conquered the nation coming down from the north and were now beginning to encircle the city of Jerusalem. We are told by the historians that the church in Jerusalem at that time, being warned by their spiritual leaders who were aware of this prophecy of Jesus, those of the church were in prayer. The Spirit spoke to them and said, "Get out tonight." And so that night they fled out of the east gate of the city of Jerusalem, which for some fluke in history, the Roman guard from the east gate was withdrawn that night. And so the church was able to escape the massive slaughter that took place by the Roman troops. And they followed the exhortation of Jesus. They fled to the mountains, and thus the church in Jerusalem was spared the horrible slaughter by the Roman troops. Jesus said that these are the days of vengeance, that all of the things which are written may be fulfilled. Throughout the entire Old Testament, first through Moses, later through the prophets, God warned the nation of Israel that if they forsook him, if they turned aside to other gods, that they would be dispersed throughout the world. They would be scattered through all nations. They would become a curse and a byword on the lips of the people. This was the warning of God throughout all the scriptures. Jesus is saying, when the city is destroyed by the Roman armies, then all of these things that have been spoken of in the scriptures will be fulfilled. Let me just give you a few passages of scriptures, of the many scriptures of the Old Testament, that speak of the dispersion of the Jews into all of the nations, that which took place literally when Jerusalem was conquered by the Roman army. Deuteronomy 28:37. "And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall drive thee." Leviticus 26:33. and I will scatter you among the heathen, and I will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Deuteronomy 4:27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. Deuteronomy 28:64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even to the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even gods of wood and stone. Deuteronomy 33. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all of the nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee. 1 Kings 14:15. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves and they've provoked Jehovah to anger. Psalm 44:11, thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and you have scattered us among the heathen. Jeremiah 9:16, I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Jeremiah 30:11, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Ezekiel 5:10, therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, cannibalism, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. This cannibalism took place at the time the city was under siege by Rome, and Josephus, in his seventh book called The Wars of the Jews, gives gory, horrible details of the things that were taking place in the city of Jerusalem when it was under siege by the Roman army. Ezekiel 11:16, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Ezekiel 12:15, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. Ezekiel 20:23, I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. And on and on and on, the warnings of the Old Testament and the declarations is that the Jewish nation would be scattered around the world among the heathen, that they would be driven out of the land which God had given unto them. And so, as Jesus said here, they are the days of vengeance, when all of the things which are written in the prophecies of the Old Testament were to be fulfilled. In Deuteronomy, in the Song of Moses, there is even the indication of the horrible things that Hitler did to the Jews. Verse 24 of chapter 32, they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with a burning heat, the ovens in which the Jews were destroyed. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents in the dust. Sword without terror. And that whole 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, from about the middle to the end, tells of the judgment of God upon the Jews because they did not follow the ways of God. So Jesus is telling them, this is going to be the sign. When you see Jerusalem encircled by the armies, flee. Don't hesitate. Get out of there. Daniel, in the 9th chapter, prophesied the day that the Messiah would come. It would be 483 years after the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince. March 14, 445 BC, Artaxerxes gave the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. 483 years later, Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on April 6, 32 AD. The prophecy was literally fulfilled. The day of the Messiah, he came. But then Daniel goes on to say, but the Messiah will be cut off and receive nothing for himself. Or that is, he would be cut off and the kingdom would not be set up immediately. And the end of the people will be with a flood, or the Hebrew word is dispersion. And so the dispersion of the Jews after the crucifixion of Jesus was predicted by Daniel in chapter 9. Now Jesus goes on to tell, there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive unto all nations. I would highly recommend, in light of this prophecy of Jesus, that you read Josephus, book number 7 in the Wars of the Jews. For Josephus was with the Roman army, with the 10th Legion, and he was an eyewitness of the destruction of Jerusalem. And he gives very interesting and very graphic details of the horrible slaughter of the Jews by the Romans at this time, but also of the horrible atrocities against the Jews committed by other Jews within the city. And so in this book number 7, The Wars of the Jews by Josephus, you find that this prophecy of Jesus is literally fulfilled as Josephus gives you the accounts of these things that Jesus spoke about. The great distress that was in the land. Many men rising up, proclaiming to be the Savior, but only taking advantage of the people. Marauding groups of strong men terrorizing and brutalizing the other Jews, the tremendous distress within the city and within the land, and the wrath that came upon these people, and finally, the destruction by the Roman army when, in the final battle days of Jerusalem, 1,100,000 Jews were mercilessly slaughtered by the Roman army. Many of them were cremated. Thousands were gathered into the temple when the Roman troops sent the temple afire and cremated the thousands of people who had sought refuge within the temple. And then, as Jesus said, they shall be led away captive into all nations. This is the time of dispersion. They'll be led away as slaves. During this period in history, those Jews that were not slaughtered by the Romans were taken captives and were sold as slaves. But there were so many of them for sale that the slave market became glutted and the prices went down so low that they didn't even want to pay for their transport. There were so many slaves on the market at that time, you couldn't get a decent price for a slave, and it almost destroyed the whole slave market at that particular time. So many Jews were led away to slavery, according to Josephus in his book, The Wars of the Jews. So the words of Christ literally fulfilled. And then Jesus went on to say, And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now he's expanding the prophecy on out. The Jews are now dispersed. They've been taken captive and led throughout the world. And all of these scriptures that spoke of the dispersion being scattered among the nations is now fulfilled. Jerusalem itself, desolate, destroyed, shall now be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. From that time in 70 AD, Jerusalem has had very few Jews living in it until just recent years. Jerusalem was first of all occupied by the Arabs and then by various factions and groups, by the Crusaders, by the Turks, by the British. Trodden under the foot of the Gentiles. It was not until 1948 when Israel was declared a nation that a portion of Jerusalem came again under the control of the Jews. But in 1948, that was only a partial control. You could not even at that point say that Jerusalem was Israeli territory. They had what they called a no man's land. The old city of Jerusalem was still under Jordanian control. They had two fences and they were about a block apart, and you would have to walk between these two fences with the Israeli guards on one side pointing their guns at you and the Jordanian guards on the other side as you were coming towards them. But you had to walk through this no man's land to get from the Israeli part of Jerusalem to the Jordanian part of Jerusalem. The old city of Jerusalem and all of East Jerusalem was still under Jordanian control. And that continued to be up until the Six-Day War in June of 1967. And in June of 1967, during that Six-Day War, the city of Jerusalem again was brought under Jewish or Israeli control when the Israeli army took the entire city of Jerusalem. In fact, they took the whole West Bank. They took the territory right on down to the Jordan River. And as of the 7th and 8th of June 1967, Jerusalem was no longer trodden under the foot of the Gentiles. It once again became Jewish territory. According to the words of Jesus, Jerusalem would be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles really began technically in 607 BC, when Jerusalem fell to the Babylonian army. The king that was established there in Jerusalem at that time reigned under the Babylonian government by virtue of appointment by the Babylonian government. For the 70 years that the Jews were in Babylonian captivity, Jerusalem laid wasted and desolate. After the 70 years, when the Jews returned under Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the walls, the Jews, though they dwelt in Jerusalem, were usually being conquered by some other power or force. Alexander the Great came to Jerusalem. He did not fight against it because the elders of the city came out and turned the city over to him. And thus it was spared destruction by Alexander the Great. He left a pocket of Grecians there who began to influence the Hebrews with the Hellenistic culture. When Alexander the Great died and the Grecian Empire was placed under the four generals of Alexander, the kingdom was divided into really the four parts. There was the Egyptian and there was the Syrian generals who were then fighting against each other, and Jerusalem was about the midway point in the battle between the general in control of Egypt and the general in control of Syria, the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. And if you know your history, you know that they were attacking each other back and forth, and Jerusalem for a time would be controlled by the Ptolemies and then destroyed and controlled by the Seleucids, and back and forth battle. But it wasn't really under Israeli control. Then the Roman Empire conquered, and the Roman Empire ruled. And then after the Roman Empire, the Arabs and the various groups that conquered Jerusalem. And not until 1967 did Jerusalem become freed from the Gentile domination. Now, according to the words of Jesus, this then would mark the end of the times of the Gentiles. So that as we look today at the world in which we live, the times of the Gentiles is really over. We are living in a little gap here. A transition is soon to take place. God has an unfulfilled 7-year period of history to deal with the nation of Israel. There's one 7-year period that is not yet fulfilled. Going back again to Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9, or at Gabriel's prophecy as he spoke to Daniel concerning the things that would happen, he said there are 77s that are determined upon the nation of Israel to finish the transgression, to make an end to sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to establish really the kingdom, to anoint the most holy place, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to complete all of the prophecies. Know therefore and understand, from the time the commandment goes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the Messiah the Prince will be 69 sevens, 7 sevens, 62 sevens, 69 sevens. The walls will be built again in troublous times, when Nehemiah was directing the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. It said that a guy would have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. There were troublous times. One guy would be putting the rocks in the mortar, and the other guy would be watching for the marauding enemy to come and to try and attack them. And so they were built again in troublous times. But that was 69 sevens. It was fulfilled. Jesus came exactly 483 years. In the Babylonian calendar, it was a 360-day year, so it's 173,880 days. And from the commandment, March 14, 445 B.C., to April 6, 3280, is 173,880 days. As Zechariah said, rejoice, your king comes to you riding on a donkey. And he came riding into the city of Jerusalem, April 6th, Palm Sunday, 32 AD, exactly to the day. But then Daniel said the people were to be dispersed. And then he talks about the final week, but the final week would mark the rule of the Antichrist in the world. And the prince of the people that shall come, the Antichrist, will make a covenant with the nation of Israel. But in the midst of that seven-year period, he'll break the covenant and he will come and cause the daily oblations to cease. He'll stop the daily sacrifices. He will stand in the temple of God, declaring himself that he is God, demanding to be worshiped as God. And so that is yet future. God has a seven-year period of time in which he is going to be dealing with the nation of Israel once again. Now, during this period of time, when the Antichrist comes back to Israel after having first made the covenant, giving them the rights and the privileges of rebuilding their temple, when the temple is rebuilt, he comes back to Jerusalem with his forces. He stands in the temple. He declares that he is God. He demands to be worshiped as God. And that, according to Jesus in Matthew's gospel, is the sign to the Jews in those days, flee again to the mountains. Don't bother to go home to get your jacket. Get out of there as quick as you can. Because this is going to perpetrate the great tribulation period that is to come upon the earth. And as Jesus said, and there shall be a time of great tribulation such as the world has never seen before or will ever see again. So that during this time, the Antichrist will once again take control of the city of Jerusalem. The remnant who have followed the words of Christ will flee to the wilderness. And the Antichrist, according to Revelation chapter 12, will go to make war against whatever Jews have remained in Jerusalem. He will start a horrible persecution of the Jews once again. He will send out an army to take those Jews that have fled down to the area of the rock city of Petra, but the earth will open up and swallow his army, according to Revelation chapter 12. So this whole prophetic scene begins to tie together now as we read these words of Christ of these last days, so that Jerusalem right now is under the control of the Israelis, which would indicate that the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. The time has come where God is going to deal once more with the nation of Israel. And we're just in a breath as far as God is concerned, as far as time is concerned. There's just this little gap between the end of the times of the Gentiles and the beginning of God's final seven-year cycle with the Jews. I mean, we're right there. We're right there. Now, in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul the Apostle said that blindness, that is spiritual blindness, has happened to Israel in part until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. There is a difference between the fullness of the Gentiles and the times of the Gentiles. Thus, you should not get them confused. The fullness of the Gentiles is a reference to those Gentiles that are to be saved and to constitute the body of Jesus Christ and the bride of Christ. God knows exactly who are going to be saved. God knows exactly who the last person is who is going to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. the fullness of the Gentiles, the last Gentile that God knows is going to be saved. When that person is saved, then the Lord will rapture his church, and the Lord will then begin to deal with Israel once more. His Spirit will then be poured out upon Israel once again. So Paul's reference to the fullness of the Gentiles becoming in is a reference to the last Gentile that's to be saved in this Gentile age. I wish I knew who they were and where they were. And I wish they'd get on with it. The times of the Gentiles is the time of the Gentile reign over Jerusalem and their domination over Israel, over Jerusalem. 1967 seemed to mark that times of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles has to surely follow very quickly. The final Gentile is to be saved, coming on into the kingdom, and then the Lord saying, all right, let's go for it, and catching away his church, where we are with him in heaven for 7 years, while the Spirit of God is working with the Jews here upon the earth, while the Antichrist is taking over the Gentile kingdoms, as the Antichrist comes with his final insult and blasphemy against God after 3.5 years standing in the temple of God, blaspheming God, declaring that he is God, and then that great, horrible tribulation period for 3.5 years, which will end when Jesus comes with his saints in clouds and great glory. So Jesus talking then about Jerusalem, they're being dispersed out of Jerusalem, again speaks of them coming back and inhabiting Jerusalem again when the times of the Gentiles have been fulfilled. So Jerusalem will be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Now, having brought them this far, giving them this prophetic scenario, beginning with verse 25, Jesus then goes ahead in prophecy. He's brought you up to the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. So then he begins to give a few signs that will precede his second coming, things that would be happening upon the earth prior to his second coming. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, which in the Greek means no way out. Seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. A lot of men's hearts failed them this past week. For fear of what happened to Wall Street. The things that are coming to pass. We're going to go into this next week. The signs of his return as he carried out beyond now the destruction of the temple. He's covered that. But now he goes out beyond that and he begins to give the signs of his return and the things that we need to be watching for in these last days. So we'll take that up next Thursday night.